We are here for the women's sponsorship tree. Memory's bad. Don't do drugs. We're going to announce speaker number one. Linda?
Layla.
Layla. I'm sorry, deaf too.
I'm Layla Manatic. So, I'm real grateful to be asked to be here today. I'm real nervous. I've never done this before. So I wrote some notes. I hope it's okay. Keeps me focused. I got clean July 13, 2006. And majority of my life, I was always trying to be good enough, or smart enough, or pretty enough, or popular enough. Not seeing who I am, that, after the drugs and after the character defects, there was actually a person underneath here. And, I met my first sponsor, God rest her soul. She had a lot of demands, though. She had a lot of stuff she had to work through on her own. And, I saw some things that she did. She broke some traditions, and we had a falling out, and I found another sponsor. And this is what I did for a long time. I did 1, 2, 3 new sponsor, 1, 2, 3 new sponsor, 1, 2, 3 new sponsor. In the total time I've been here, I've had 7 sponsors, and I've had one twice. No, two twice. Two twice. I did it for a few reasons. I did it because I didn't like you women. I didn't like any of y'all. To this day, I still have problems hugging people because I think, the triangle, I think that you think that you really don't want to hug me. So I won't hug you until you hug me. I was afraid of the 4th step. I was afraid of step 4. And when I first got here, to be truthfully honest, I say I'm a one-time wonder, but I'm really not, because I used through my first 90 days. I picked up key tags. I did step work. I went to NA functions, and I really wasn't. It was only till one Friday, which is the day of my home group. I'm driving down the street, and it's a beautiful day, and it's like, I'm either going to live that life, or I'm going to live this life. And this life isn't that bad. It sucks sometimes because I have to feel through all of this stuff. But I have a support system today, right? So I got clean. I got honest with my first sponsor. She made me tell everyone. She made me go in every meeting and, make this statement because she wanted me. She taught me what honesty was, right? And, the sponsor that I have today, her name's Bernadette. I've had her for almost 11 years. She's the first non-codependent relationship I've ever had. She taught me to be... Oh, shit. Fuck.
Okay. We love you, girl. We love you, girl.
She taught me to be authentic. She taught me to be brave and responsible. Today I don't call my sponsor and dump my problems, although I still need pep talks. I will call her and be like, I just need to hear it. I know it, but I need to hear it still. Because I still need you, I know that she has problems and she struggles, but she's taught me compassion and commitment. She taught me how to sponsor other women because I learned the hard way that you can't guide others in this process without having these core values and emotional stability. I've hurt women by sponsoring them. I've had to put them on my step work because I wasn't prepared or ready or responsible enough to be a sponsor. It's a big deal to be a sponsor. And she helps me peel away at an unending onion. She teaches me what a friend is. Today I sponsor women with the same understanding she shows me. I listen more and try not to be judgmental. Words used to fly out of my mouth without any consequence of how it might hurt someone, thinking I was being real, like I'm just being real, like take it or leave it, you know, with that attitude. Today I temper with a warning before I open my mouth. I usually explain that I'm saying this with love and concern, or I hope it's okay to say this. This teaches me what healthy boundaries looks like, and she teaches me how to teach others. Okay, that's all that. But I really want to say, like, my sponsor has given me direction. And I believe with everything in me, if you have any doubt in your heart that you don't have the baddest sponsor on the planet, get a new sponsor. Please. If you don't think your sponsor's an asshole, get a new sponsor. My sponsor's an asshole. She has told me things I hate her for, but she saved my life. She saved my life. When I first came in the rooms, I was broken. I was destitute. I had nothing, just like everyone else, I had nothing. But I went to a meeting one day, and I found Bernie. And we were friends at first, and then she became my sponsor, and she is my beacon, you know, in any storm that I have, she's always been my beacon. And I hate that she gets too busy, because I'm ego-driven, and very needy and codependent, right? And I need you. I need you to need me. But that teaches me patience. It teaches me that it's not all about me. I've done everything they told me not to do in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous except to pick one up. I've done everything. But the sponsors that I have had that have lasted, those sponsors didn't judge me. Those sponsors weren't critical. Those sponsors were loving. You know, and I sit here, July 13th, well, I'll have 15 years clean, but I sit here and I realize, like, I sit here and I realize that, like, someone shared it in a meeting earlier, and you know, everything we share, at least everything I share, a lot of things that I share are tidbits and pieces of things that other people have said, and it's stuck with me, right? They're like these gems, these diamonds, you know, that were just impossible to afford, that you felt it in your soul. She said, I will come in here and share my crazy. I will share it all, because I don't want to do something stupid. So I have gone to my sponsor, and I have told her everything. And if you do have a sponsor, and if she is the person for you, be honest with her, please. Because I would rather be honest with my sponsor than go cheat on my wife. I would rather be honest with my sponsor than end up in jail because I took a hatchet to someone, which I did a few years ago. That's another story, I think. I text my sponsor. I think I'm going to jail. But I've learned the hard way in recovery that, you know, things must be done a certain way. And, you know, respect is earned, not given. And trust. Trust is the one thing that, you know, you have with a sponsor. And to have that trust, you have to be honest with them. I'm really grateful to have everyone be here, and I'm going to shut up. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, we're still at the woman sponsorship tree, and the second speaker, her name is Bernadette.
Yeah. Good afternoon, family. My name is Bernadette, and I'm an addict.
Wow. I'd like to thank, ECCN for, contacting me, even after we were supposed to do it last year, and then they contacted us back to, to do the sponsorship. Again, I'm sorry, I'm nervous. Check this out. I'd like to say that I have the same sponsor that I started out with, but I didn't. And when I first came into this process, right, I understand about this sponsorship thing, because when I came into the rooms, I was seeing some women. I didn't know them. I won't tell my business. In my house, we were taught, whatever happens in the house, stay in the house. So it was, and then with my mother, it was like she taught us how to dress up. Because if something's going on with you, you dress up, you put some oil on your face, you anoint your head, and you cover it up. So they taught me how to shut up and taught me how to mask up. And then I come in here and y'all say, the mask gotta go. And it was like, and I gotta tell somebody my business. And I'm like, well, I don't know about this. And it was like, okay, because like my first home group, what happened was one of the members said, okay, that's all right, we're gonna sponsor you, but I got a sponsor for you. The home group gonna sponsor you wait till she come. I got the sponsor for you. I'm saying to myself, Until that magical day came open, it was almost like the doors opened up and the wind blew like, and it was somebody that I knew from my past. As a matter of fact, she was her family was tied to my family for many years. And it was like, okay, yeah, I can do this. But I still don't want to tell her my business. I want to tell her just enough, because the reality of it is, it's like, I don't really want you to see me. See, in my house growing up, you had to look a certain way. You had to talk a certain way. You had to dress a certain way. Everything had to be a certain way in this little box. So it's like, I can't tell you this stuff, because if I tell you, you really going to see me. And I hate that B word, vulnerable. Hated it. Because, that means I got to really let the barbed wire, the brick wall, the moat, the trees, the bushes, the thorns, all of that stuff go. But my first sponsor, every time I turn around, she was popping one of them bubbles. I said, I didn't trip. She said, yeah, you did. You just went on the corner. Poop. I never stole anything from anybody. Yeah, you did. Didn't you say you was in the club pulling people when we used to put our purse in the chair and tuck it up under there? Didn't you do that? Poop. And she kept busting all of the bubbles, which was allowing me to see that, we are more, I heard y'all say that, we're more alike than different. But I didn't want to see that. I want to hold on because I'm special, I'm unique, ain't nobody like me. But the reality is that we all are all alike. And I remember how we talked about, I remember hearing women sharing about how, I don't like to be around women because women get on my nerves and women did this and women did that. And I remember my first sponsor told me, she said, look, because, and I would go to meetings and I would hear people share about different things. And she said, well, if you don't want to be like that person, and she would slide the book over, the flat book. If you don't want to be like them, this is what you got to do. You say somebody doing some crazy stuff, got all this time, you don't want to do that, this is what you got to do. And I really thought that when you get like 10 years clean, you was good, you was safe, you ain't do nothing wrong no more. And that was another pop of that bubble. Because the reality of it is that no matter how much work I'm doing, I'm still a human being. Shit gonna happen. And then she also told me, she said, don't be surprised. She said, because you're doing a lot of work on yourself, don't be surprised when women who have more time than you ask you to sponsor them. And I'm like, oh no, nobody would ever do that to me. You know, until the day it actually happened. I'm like, oh! And every time somebody would ask me to sponsor them, I was like, oh! I would call my sponsor and say, somebody asked me to sponsor them. She was like, well, okay, well, you want to do it? You have the time? You have the commitment? Because that was another thing, too, because I remember early on that I had a sponsee who, she wanted to hang out. Now I'm married. She want to hang out. She want to party. She want to go to the NA dance. And she want to go to the club. Look, baby, I can't do all of that. Why? Because I'm married. So I can hang out a little bit, but I have a responsibility to those vows that I said. So I can't hang out with you on a regular basis. Come to find out what she did, called me up and said, I got another sponsor. And we hanging out. Okay, have fun. Do you, boo? You know, because if that person is going to be better for you, I'm all for it. You know, I'm all for it. But then she also came back to me and told me, I wish I hadn't done that. I'm like, well, what's going on? Because the sponsor, the sponsees, all of them went back out. And I asked her, I said, so you want me to sponsor you again? And she said, no, because I'm not ready. And it's like, you know what? If you're not ready, it's nothing I can do. I can't force you. I'm powerless over people, places, and things. I can't chase you, but when you're ready, whenever that is, I'm here for you. And see, that was the thing that my first sponsor actually taught me. Now, my first sponsor got sick, and it took her a number of years before she, you know, kind of had to kind of get it together. So I ended up getting somebody else who, every time that she spoke, it was like so elegant, and oh, it was so spiritual, and oh, she was just, you know, she was memorizing. I mean, she had that shit down. She could quote that stuff back and forth, and everybody would just be in so in awe of her. Until I got around to trying to do my fourth step for the third time, and she couldn't take me through my fourth step because she hadn't done hers.
Damn.
So it's like, oh, okay, so they told me in the beginning when I got here to watch people, to listen to people, but I got kind of caught up in listening to people more than I got into listening, you know, really paying attention to people. And here I'm with somebody who can't do anything for me. And this person got 20-some years. Can't do a fourth step. But the flip side of that is I've also had women who came to me also asked me to sponsor them because their sponsor couldn't take them past a certain point either. So the one thing about sponsorship that I really got out of it, you know, she told me about doing the work. Doing the work. And, you know, and a big part for me about doing the work is let me get some of my crazy out of the way. Because otherwise, I'm going to put all of my stuff and transfer it on you. Because, you know, a lot of times people, you know how sometimes people just listen to you? they like you, so they listen to you. You know, and it's like because they listen to you, you can just say anything that you want to say out of your mouth. And, oh, this is like golden. And you straight up wrong. You know, and I've gone to these sponsorship meetings before where I heard people saying about, you know, I don't want to butcher somebody. I don't want to hurt anybody. My next sponsor after that did just that. Because after I left that one, I went to somebody else that I knew that had 20-something years clean who said, shoot, I act like I ain't got no sponsors. And she right, she didn't. If I call you, don't call people back. Now, I ain't saying you got to call me right back, right now, but at least check in and see the fact that I said hi. You know, that sponsorship piece is a two-way piece, and it's not so much always about you got to be friends with that person, but the person can guide you through whatever it is that you're going in your life with the 12 steps. You know, this is about somebody that I'm sharing all my stuff with you when we doing step work. You're not saying anything to me. It's like, you read the question, I read the answer. You read the question, I read the answer. No feedback in between. I'm telling you, I'm doing some straight bullshit. Some crazy stuff. I ain't got no business doing. And you went to the next question. After we was done, she called a man up on the phone and said, yeah, we just finished this work. I just felt like I had a dry screw.
Oh my God.
And it felt so nasty. Because see, when I'm doing step work with my sponsor, and when I'm doing step work with a sponsee, there is a spiritual connection that occurs at that moment in time. Through the crying, through the snotting, through the whatever it is that we're doing, the laughter, whatever it is, there is a spiritual connection, that spiritual awakening that occurs. And that too was a spiritual awakening. It was a rude awakening, but spiritual all the same. And what did it say? Next. Because I can't keep doing this. You know what I mean? You know, I got out of sleeping with people for whatever reason because I didn't like how that felt. And that was like that feeling all over again. Like you couldn't even scrub yourself hard enough to get over that. You know, so my next sponsor, what did I do? We're going to start interviewing people. Because I can't let you allow me to kill myself. You know what I'm saying? Like when I'm doing, you know, as a sponsor, when I'm doing step work with my sponsees, if, you know, when they talking about some crazy stuff that they're doing, I'm like, well, why'd you do that? Let's talk about this a little bit. I'm going to share my experience with you, and you're going to share your experience, you know, a little bit more with me. But let's talk about how crazy that was and how dangerous that was, you know. So I don't want somebody to do that to me. If you know I'm, check me on my shit. Check me on my shit. My current sponsor is a trip because she actually brought me back to right back where I was and what my mother was trying to teach me. Ain't that some shit?
Yeah.
Because see, in my house, you know, like my mother wanted us to be dainty ladies. She wanted us to have class and grace. My aunt used to take us to the movies and the BSO, Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, if anybody don't know, you know, and take us to operas and all of those types of things. She tried to teach us some culture, you know, and it's okay to be, you know, to be a lady. You know, Lauryn Hill says, why be a hard rock when you really are Jim? And that's what the sponsorship piece has given to me. And like I said, with my current sponsor, it actually allowed me to go all the way back full circle to when I was a kid and my mother was putting us in those high neck ruffle collars, and she wanted us to be dainty and soft. And I'm not saying that, you know, she's actually trying to do that, but it's like she brings a softer touch. She brings it back to, guess what? Look, check this out. I found out that my husband was calling some woman on the phone. Right? Found out he was calling somebody. So, I asked him, he denied it. I asked, he denied. Look, I've been in your shit. I know. You know what I'm saying? I know. So, I'm like, okay, I called her. Never did that before. But, you know, the old me is very confrontational. I'm going to come up to you. I was, you know, busting the windows out of people's cars way before the song was. You know, I mean, I would just do this, you know, I mean, I was just stupid. You know, something happened, it's like first thing out of my mouth. I ain't think about it or nothing. Just cuss you out, just go, get in the car, let's go, and act like an idiot. So, you don't want to tell me the truth? No problem. I called girlfriend up. Talked to her, look, I've never done this before. I wasn't nasty to her. I've never done this before, but I want you to know, just in case if you don't. You know, he's married. And, you know, she said, well, she didn't know. I'm like, okay, because see, I know she gonna call him. So that I made that call with her on my way home. So then by the time I got home, he had that phone call. So, you know, it was all, you know, a mess and everything. But you know what my sponsor taught me when I wrote it in my step work and stuff, and we sat down to talk about it. She said, you know what? You didn't have to humiliate yourself. It didn't have to be that way anymore. You didn't have to humiliate yourself. Look, you're powerless over people, places, and things. And people can change their mind at any point in time. Not just him, but you. And the reality of it is, it's like, I really needed to take heed to that, because the biggest part of that is, I've done that before. Not just once. You know, whether it was a revenge thing or whatever it was. And it's like, you don't have to put yourself in that situation. You know, humility teaches us that, you know, you are accepting of who you are right here, right now. I do not have to act like that. I don't have, you know, yeah, you do need to address some shit with that. However, that doesn't mean that you have to, like, totally be all out of character and go back to the way that I used to be, you know, just because of this situation. And it actually helped me even more to look at my inner unmanageability, because that's what it all stemmed back to, what I was taught as a kid and the things that happened to me as a child. And my current sponsor has allowed me the opportunity, because she gave me a fourth step on relationships. First question kicked my butt, you know, but it allowed me an opportunity to get to a real thicker piece of that that onion and take that off. And the things that all of my sponsors have taught me, the three that were really pivotal in my life, what they taught me is that if you don't like how you look or feel, tell yourself every day. They told me to go in the mirror. Well, my first sponsor said, you go in the mirror and tell yourself, I feel pretty, oh so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and gay, and I pity. You know, and I told that to my sponsees. When you're not feeling good about yourself, keep telling yourself that until you do. Because see, you know, a part of it is that, you know, it's like, we'll love you until you learn to love yourself. But let me give you a hint. Look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that. One thing about the women's sponsorship family is the bomb. And I remember at one point in time, my sponsees were talking about how we don't like these women, how we don't like these women. So we had a sponsorship gathering, and we talked about that. Who's the woman that you didn't like that started this chain of events for you? And the majority of them was mama, grandmama, or an aunt. We all got the same thing. We're still more alike than we're different. And we talked about all of those differences that we had that we thought was so different and so unique. And the reality of it is once again, there's another spiritual awakening that came to pass, because the relationship, the bond that we have been able to build because of that. I got a best friend out of that. You know, I have, you know, women in my family, I had goosebumps, you know, that no matter, and I remember, it's like, oh, well, I don't like her. Sometimes I don't want to go to the sponsorship gathering because I don't like so-and-so. And you know what I found out? That's because she was just like me. And it was a lot of things about her that I could see that was me. And when I got an opportunity to humble myself enough and actually go up to the person and really talk to them, we are the best of friends. And any time that I see that, when I have that even with my sponsees, I share that love to them too. Give them a chance and get to know them, because y'all just like, you just don't know. You know, man, this women's, and the sponsorship family that we have right now, is amazing. You know, the women that we actually have in our life, and it's crazy, because I don't have any biological sisters, and I love the fact that they're now my sisters. And I don't care what color you are, it doesn't matter. Although in the house I grew up in, you had to look a certain, you had to be a certain color. You know, you had to be a certain color, you had to be a certain weight, you had to be. Look, I am so glad that you guys have continued to work in my life, and that I have allowed the sponsorship pamphlet. We had that sponsorship book that talked about, you know, how to be a sponsor, you know, when should you get a sponsor. Get a sponsor as soon as humanly possible. But I do suggest that you do kind of wait and really get to see somebody. Don't really, like me, don't really get caught up just because somebody is speaking a certain way because they can quote all the literature. That just tells me that they have a good memory. And not that that's always the case, but I'm just saying that one particular case for me, that was the case. She just had a good memory, you know. If you do not have a sponsor, there's the sponsorship pamphlet. Read it. Read it again. If you are having some issues with your sponsor, talk to them anyway. Hash that out. Because instead of holding on to it and telling somebody else, talk to that person. Because the one thing that my sponsors taught me is to be honest. First of all, I need to be honest to myself. So if I can't get with you as a sponsor and talk to you and tell you my stuff, then I'm going to have a problem. Because when I try to do my step work, I'm not going to be honest with myself. So you can lie to me all day. You know, as a sponsor, if a sponsor you want to lie all day, that's okay. They peeing on themselves. They not peeing on me. But if I'm not talking to my sponsor about what's going on, then I'm peeing on me. You know, now I try not to be the nuisance sponsor. You know, because I want to make sure that I'm hard on myself. You know, as a lot of you are, I'm actually hard on myself. So I try to make sure that, you know, I'm doing what I should be doing, you know, to the best of my ability. Am I getting everything right? No. You know, but I can always talk to my sponsor, and not so much just talking to my sponsor because I want to drop all my stuff on her. Because there's always a time when my sponsees need to hold on to me, and we need to hold on to her. You know, and I'm truly grateful for this process, because without it, I wouldn't have true friends, girlfriends, in my life today. And that was something that I didn't have. Girlfriends. You know, that I can call on at the drop of a dime. And whether I saw you last week, last year, or didn't talk to you since COVID, usually when I contact somebody, they answer the phone. And we talk, you know, and we have quality conversations, you know. And I just love the sponsorship and the sponsorship spirit that women offer to other women, because the reality of it is, when I was going through health issues and stuff, I was going through cancer, I was doing a lot of bleeding, and I was going through a lot of stuff. When I talked and said that stuff into a meeting and with men in there, I cleared out the room. But when I came to the women's rap or the sponsorship gathering, I could share that stuff, and other women could share the same thing with me. And it let me know I'm never alone. I keep coming back.
Okay, I would like to introduce our third speaker. Her name is Ellen.
Hi, my name is Ellen.
Hey, family. Hey,
I like to thank the East Coast Convention for asking me to share my experience, strengths, and hopes, and I'd like to thank my higher power for allowing me to be here. It's a great day to be clean. beautiful, man. My drive down here was like the clouds, man. I was like, yo, it's awesome. And here we go. Layla and Bernadette, you guys, it's such a treat. It's such an honor to share a stage with you. And I'm just so, not just proud of the women you are, but what you contribute in my life. It's invaluable, and that's what this topic is, really. I don't know, she totally freaked me out with the symphony and high collared lace dresses and shit. Because I was a big old tomboy. I was like, I brought you back to being a lady. What? No. But it's just funny, you know, people's perceptions of you and stuff. But, and I do try, you know what I mean? Because that's not who came here. Look, that is not who came here. I was so not a lady. I don't think many people use that to ever describe me, but... Well, maybe, I don't know, but I always think this is like such a magical thing, and my experience, I guess, is really rare, and I'm glad you did go there, though, Bernadette, because that was one of the things I was thinking about when I was coming down here, because I recently lost an aunt, and I moved back with my mother almost five years ago, who's 91, and has three recovering children, and was such a conducive place for me to come when my crazy butt came out of that last detox in 1989. And it's been a ride, but it's also forced me to confront, you know, we talked about the relationship forth, it's allowed me to confront a lot of stuff. And I know when I got here and you guys said women get with the women, I was not the one that met that with any resistance because, and you touched on it, and this is what I was thinking. It's like my aunt, I was surrounded by really awesome women growing up, despite the dysfunction in my home. And I thank them every day, just like the people who were here, my predecessors who were here when I got here. Because even though I was unwilling to take most of that good information that they were offering even then, and I mean the little girl who crawled underneath the bridge table, you know, when the topic of men came up and stuff. and they all said the same thing. They all cheat, you know, they all said the same thing. You went there too, Vickery, earlier. But just gave me, like, incredible stuff. And my mother had incredible relationships. And here lately, a lot of them have been leaving. And it just makes me know that just like here, and you close with that too, it's just like here. I do have a sister and I value our relationship, but I have many in you all, in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, many sisters. And I can't do this thing alone, and you all convinced me of that when I got here. And I was the girl, you know, like I said, I didn't have a problem getting with women, because when I first came here, you know, I came here in 84 and I didn't stay. And I look back on it because, you know, for real, I took none of the suggestions, none of them. None of them. And my phone book was filled with men's numbers, and I didn't make a conscious decision. It wasn't because I didn't like you guys, because you all said, well, women are slimy and, you know, they're deceitful and catty, and I'm like, good, I'm in the right place, you know what I mean? That was not a problem to me, but I knew when I came back 4.5 years later, beat the hell up. And like somebody I love and respect always says, hurting in a place I never hurt before, I was willing to embrace it, and I just thank God. First thing was the women in my home group. I made a home group the first meeting I went to when I left that detox. And it stayed my home group for about, 14 years, I think. And, 11 years maybe. And and then the meeting I moved to became my home group, and it's been my home group ever since. But my first sponsor I got before I had 60 days clean. And I'll never forget, one of my home group members said, come on, let's go to a different meeting. And she says, first I got to stop and get a friend. And we rode down on Broadway, and this little ball of energy jumped in the car with me. And I had made a list, not because I wanted to do interviews, but I had some things I wanted out of my first sponsor. And they were, first of all, I came in here pregnant this last time in 89. So she had to be a mother, because I had no idea what I was doing. And she had to be a mother. And I came in here without a car, even though I did have one most of my active addiction. I came in here carless. So she had to have a car. And And she also had to have more time than me, at least 2 years. And I don't know how arbitrary that. I don't know where the 2 years came from, but she had to have at least 2 years clean work. And no point was there working knowledge, you know, stuff work. I have a sponsor, no, you know. But anyhow, this is as it gets in the car, and right away we start talking about theater and music, and before we even got to the meeting we were going to, which was clear across town. I was like, she is going to be it. And this woman had about 18 months more than me, no car, lived with her mother, never had a kid in her life. And she sponsored me till I had 4.5 years clean. And actually, I've only had two. I listened to you guys talk about the many, and I'm grateful because I'm going to tell you something. My first sponsor, and I'll call her name, even though she's not here, and that's Dawn Yu. She taught me, one, it's not about you, Ellen, and that was really, like, hard. Because everything was always about me. Everything was always about me. And she also taught me to shut up, which it was really hard back then, too. Because I talked all my life. I mean, I was a kid whose dad would give him $5 if she could be quiet through Johnny Quest or The Wonderful World of Disney, which was an hour, and I earned that $5 every time, biting my lip, you know, my tongue, and sitting on my hands. But I could never be quiet, but she did. She said, listen, you know, and she wasn't one of those hardcore, tough love, like, if you want what we have to offer, call me every day. And she wasn't one of those. And in the beginning, we did have a lot of fun together because she was a fun person. But she also was willing to do the work, and she taught me the importance of it, because I was the girl that, when you all said sometimes you could be too smart to get this thing, I knew you were talking about me. And when you all said, you know, that I was the problem, I definitely knew you were talking about me. And I also believe that more than anything else, I didn't want to return to that pain, no matter how scary recovery seemed early on. And the same addict will use again scared me enough for me to pick up a pen. And when I got here, the flat book wasn't here, and I was okay, and I didn't care where the guide came from. It could be Renegade, it could have been, Hazel, I didn't care. Because more than anything, I wanted to stop hurting. But definitely I wanted to never use again, just for the day, you guys taught me that, and I was willing. And she really helped me with that. And I loved it, you know, man. I reached out to so many women everywhere I went. I was getting phone numbers, man. And you guys just loved me so much that I was overwhelmed. And I wanted it all the time. I came in here touch-starved. I loved hugging. And I was all about that noise, you know, and very grateful. You know, she made a decision, my first sponsor, when I had 4.5 years clean, to take a job down in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. And this was before not only Skype, FaceTime, Zoom, whatever, and all your social media. There weren't even, you know, I think cell phones were new. And I knew at that point in my recovery that I still needed that human contact. I needed it. I couldn't, because see, here we go. I told you, it was like not talking was hard, not lying was harder. Because I came in here, I was a liar, like, look. And that started way before I picked up the first joint at 13 years old. I was lying when I was like 8, probably, for no apparent reason. You know, not even to get out of trouble. I would just lie to impress you. And, or myself, you know, depending on it. But I'm sharing that because I knew I needed somebody close. Because Ellen is also an actress. And I could tell you and sell you and convince you of anything. And I knew I would over the phone, and I knew I would over the water to the Caribbean. I needed somebody close, and I made another list. Only this time it wasn't about the things they needed to possess. It was the three women I already had in mind. And at this point, like my brother came in here. Actually, we have the same clean date. He came in here 2 years before me. My sister came in 2 years after. And one of the people on the list had already started sponsoring my sister, so boom, that was gone right there. I'm so not going to share a sponsor with my sister. And the second one was a good friend of my brother's, and she lived in D.C., and I just loved the way she walked. And you talked about this. Not how she shared, how she walked. But here we go. The third person on that list was my grand sponsor. the woman who had sponsored Don for the entire time I've been here. She had been my grand sponsor. And every time we had any interactions, I just loved her spirit and her energy. And just like Don, we shared so much. We had so much in common. Not just a birthday, but just like vibe, our flow. And I was so impressed with how she lived her life and how she carried this thing. And she had a son, same age as my daughter. And I was like, man, and she was like, I throw a rock and hit Woodlawn, you know what I mean? So I was like, okay, I'm going to pray about this. All things kept pointing back to her, and that is my sponsor today. And I just love her, every fiber of my being. And we have been through so much, because like, there were times when she was sponsoring other women, and I would be like, pouting. And there were people way before me. It's not like I was number one ever. But I wanted to be constantly, and so I understand that now, because I'm going to get to my experience as a sponsor soon. But at the time, I was like, okay, and like, it was like, we're going to this women's thing, it's this marathon, it's this unity day. And I would get in the car, and then she's like, we got to get so-and-so. Like, I'll get in the back. I used to hate that. But guess what? Some of those women are some of my like coolest people today, you know. And I look at just the process, and the process for me has been to trust someone with everything I am, you know, and continue the work. You know, I remember when I first did my I did my second fourth step, because there were times when after I asked her, I really wanted, and I don't know if anybody can relate to this, having a new sponsor, I was like, I'm going to take my old fourth step, ride by her house, and put it in the mailbox, and you know, pull off. Because she has to know who I am, and I didn't realize that, for real, Ellen, that's going to happen, and you know what happens? It happens with time, man. It happens with time. And guess what? There's a whole lot of new stuff in a fourth step, but I had to go through all of them before I came back to it. Which was great, because it just fostered like the FaceTime, spending time with each other, meeting the people that mean a lot to her, and just, you know, continuing to pick up the phone, like Bernie said. It's like, you know, share my truth, share what's going on, share my insanity, but also share my successes, share my goals, share like the good things, that like, healthy choices I'm starting to make now that I've been here for a minute, you know, share that. And I did, and it just continued to seal and like conceal this relationship that has become invaluable. And more importantly, I have to say, the thing about style, like I tell all the women that ever ask me, it's like, I am not a heavy hitter. I'm not gonna, you know, give you assignments and due dates. And I'm not gonna kick you in the butt, because my experience since being here has been that you don't have to do the work, right? You don't have to do the work. You don't. Life on life terms will propel you. I mean, that has been my experience, you know, like, you just, when people, I hear somebody say, I've been sitting on 67, I'm like, how the hell do you do that? I'd be hobbling into the meeting, like, all jacked up, like, I can't imagine, you know what I mean, because I found it to be true. Life on life terms will propel you to do the work. Or it'll get so painful and inconceivable that, you know, using will start becoming an option again. Well, it's always for me. I'm not the girl to tell you using is not an option. I'm not. Because I am capable. I am not exempt. And I'm going to tell you something. This last year and a half has proven that to me again, because I've had to deal with something I've never done really much since I've been here. And that's been isolate. And I said, wait a minute. Rewind. I started sponsoring women. Real quick. When I started sponsoring women, I tell you, the first couple of people, I was like, what, are they kidding? You know, because my disease still tells me, like, when I get up here, or even if I'm sitting out there and I raise my hand in a regular meeting, my disease will tell me, you guys don't get me. Because I'm really weird, you know. It's like, that free-form speech, and you know, you gotta hold on to Ellen. She quotes movies and song lyrics and shit. And yeah, I was like, what was she talking about? I thought it was the A step. And she's singing like, you know, a Leon Redbone song. But I'm sharing that because when somebody does see something in me and they think it's of value, I'm often like shocked by that still. because I do feel like I have a message, and I do feel like I've given as much as I possibly could to this program. I could never repay this program, this fellowship, and the God in my life for what this has done for me the last 32 years. I cannot tell you. But I also know that it's a huge responsibility. And I think Layla touched on it. I don't want to ever be the girl who's doing someone more harm than good. And the important lesson, one of the many that I've learned from my sponsor, is to definitely stick to this basic thing. And that's share your experience, strength, and hopes. Because I'm the girl that will want to give in to the need to share my opinion or something I read or something I saw on 60 Minutes or MSNBC and shit. And for real, that is not going to help you in any way whatsoever. But what I've learned is if you're sharing or you're dealing or struggling with something like crucial and it's like rocking your world, if I don't know nothing about that thing, if I haven't been in your shoes, I need to politely point you to a sister who has. Because anything else would be just that. What I read, what I saw, or my opinion, which is dangerous in here. And I know that for a fact. Folks have shared those things with me, and I ran with them, and look, brother, that talked about it, what I get? Boom, pain as a result, you know what I mean? I'm not going to do that to somebody else. And I have had struggles. You know, my first couple of sponsees, man, I even went through one sister who's no longer here, and I'm going to tell you, the guy Mike, the chair of Vickery, definitely took me there, because she was chronic, you know? And I loved her with all my heart. I love Ra. And I tell you something, when her last relapse is, I looked up and I was running up and down. If you know the city, I was running up and down Garrison Boulevard looking for this girl. You know, that delicate balance, that knife's edge that's about carrying the message. No, carrying the addict. Cautionary tale, Ellen. You cannot keep somebody clean. You can't, you know what I mean? And hey, I can't imagine, you know, like now, because I tell you, I recently had a sponsee who relapsed, and I wanted to go to my go-to bag. I wanted to, you know, grab her, shove her in my pocket, throw her in the trunk, you know what I'm saying? You are getting one day, DJ, you know, you're stepping in this square circle, you know what I mean? I was getting ready to give her my whole Hogan, and for real, I couldn't, you know, I was like, meet you at Zoom, see if you're hungry, you know, call me, you know. I felt like really like this passive approach to something that I used to go hard with, but that's all I have at my disposal right now, you know what I mean? And it was humbling. But it just put me back on point because check it out. It's like, it is a huge commitment. It is a huge responsibility. And days come and I feel like I'm not worthy, but what I try to share more than anything else is the truth about me. And that you said genuine, that hit me too, Layla, because, you know, I can't be anybody other than I am. And I've spent this process getting to who she is. What else am I going to give you? You know what I mean? I don't, you know. I definitely fast-forwarded a minute ago, but I'm going to go here now. This past year, and Bernadette definitely went there with, I come from a long line of powerful women in this program. And I carry, you know, it's just like my ancestors, man, I carry you guys. You're in my ears all the time, and I know we're not supposed to have big eyes and big little U's or put people on pedestals, but, and my brother and I were talking about this recently, I have heroes in here. And that's okay. We can. Y'all said I could. And I do. I mean, people, I just love the way they walk. I love the way they share. I love, you know, being in their company. And some days I go back to feeling like that newcomer where I want some of your cool shit to rub off on me. I really do. It's like, you know, if it's your spiritual connection, if it's your professionalism, if it's your maternal way, if it's the way in which you cook, it's something. And here lately, again, this year and a half has been rough for me, and coming here was a kind of a challenge. I did my first open meeting where I really is a hybrid, but it was an open meeting about a week and a half ago, and it was rough, and I didn't think it was going to be, but it was rough, because when I was younger, I did used to suffer with anxiety and panic attacks. I mean, my first year clean, man, I'd be sitting, even in my home group, and all of a sudden the walls would just like get, you know what I'm saying? And everybody used to say, oh, you were so hyper, I can't believe you did coke, because I'd be gone. It was like a pack of cigarettes, like, you know, if y'all read the literature, I'm already like, it's crazy. I'm serious. I used to have it bad. But I didn't think that, and I wanted to get through this without talking about COVID, but this pandemic really jacked me up because I got real comfortable being home. Real comfortable being home, and I wish I was struggling with some of the things I hear you all share on Zoom. I wish it was like, he gets on my nerves. He's down in the basement. If I had a man in a basement, I'd be in a basement like a mom. I'd be mad at him. But look, I've just gained all this weight, or I've been shopping. Look, Amazon trucks bump into each other, pulling in front of my house. I have not been shopping. I have not been gambling. I've not been screwing my brain out. I haven't been eating like a nut. I just look, my oldest symptom of this disease has come back, fantasy. I'll be curled up with that laptop, dude, writing fan fiction. Where'd that come from? I have no idea. Ordering movies, that's what I've been ordering. It hasn't been designer bags and shoes. It's been DVDs and Blu-rays. I pop them and I say, I've always wanted that French film. It was the first one I ever saw at the Charles when I was 16. You know, and it's crazy because it's like, you know, for the first time, and I'm going to share this, because my cousin too is in this, well, I have a couple cousins in this fellowship, but one of the first used to sponsor my brother, and I'll never forget, he and I went to Ham's anniversary years ago. Oh, I just called his name, it doesn't matter. And I'll never forget. Son of, I'll never forget. He got up and he was talking about, man, he's like, oh, these guys I sponsored, you know, my dad. He says, I know y'all can relate. Sometimes I'll be on the phone, I'm not paying them no damn mind. He's like, I'm sitting there going, I think I had like four or five just quit. I'm sitting there going, well, that's just rude, you know. And then he says, no, seriously, who doesn't sit on the phone and go, yeah, okay, what? You know, like pretend to listen to him. And I'm going, that is the most outrageous thing I've ever, I will never do that. Never. You guys get my undivided. I'm engaged. I'm, you know, look, this last year I had a whole bunch of, but. And I had to think about him. And, no, I'm telling the truth. I had to think about him and go, Ellen, who are you doing the disservice to? Really? You were pissed 25, 26 years ago. And now here you are, right? Well, I don't want to be her. I don't want to be her, man. And I had to pray, and I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you, raising my hand and telling you guys the truth, to me, regardless of what the challenge, what the obstacle is, I believe with all my heart. And when people, I hear people say everything is for everybody, I cringe. Because, I mean, at the time, my problems or whatever the issue was, a broken heart, of being fired from a job, looking at a repossession on a car, my home being foreclosed. I mean, I don't care. Death, I don't care what it was. The beginning of my healing came when I had the courage to raise my hand and tell you all the truth. You all went there. You know, and I started, you know, because here we go. Stuff I wouldn't dare do when we were still in regular meetings. I looked up and I was real comfortable with pushing, like, this person starts sharing. I go, leave meeting. You know, and I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. I would, like, look, I wouldn't even go out and smoke. You know that whole old joke, where you find your sponsor out on the parking lot, shit like that. No, not this attic, right? No, but I was doing it on Zoom. And if you said, oh, we, in our group conscience says you can't smoke, you know, I'd be like, leave meeting. Make sure you're decent and fully clothed. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I would so not do that. I'm joking. I always have clothes on. No, I'm joking. But I had to look at that and at the root of it. You know what I mean? And it was, as always, what? Fear. You know? And it's like, hello, Ellen. The world is still fine. Join it. Your disease didn't go anywhere. It was never outside doing push-ups. It's no monkey. Here it is. This is where it's always been. You better tell them. And I thank God for the women in my life. Because you guys wouldn't let me. You know, and say, oh, you going in that closet, Ellen? Pull them covers up, Ellen? You better come out. You better come out. And it's not just about, you know, needing to see me. It's like, I need to still heal and grow. I still need to be engaged in this thing. My recovery is my responsibility. And I thank God, man, because I tell you, just like my sponsor, and some of my sponsor's sisters, oh my gosh, but definitely the women I've sponsored this year. Women I've sponsored have been like, Ellen, I got one, man, she goes to this meditation, I'm going to share some stuff. She goes to this meditation meeting with these early, the boys, right? And she called me, she says, you know, I've been telling you to come check this meeting out for the longest time, and you won't. I was like, I'm sorry, I will, I know. And she says, well, today, two people got one-day keychains. The guy had 32 years clean and the woman had 36. And I was like, damn, yo, like, you know, a message was for me. A message was for me. Just like Mike's was. He talked about don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle when he shared that earlier today. He was like, I always thought that was this was my miracle. I was going to miss my. He said he thought he was always going to miss his miracle, but the longer we stay in this process of transformation happens, the miracle is the miracle of others. It's not just me. You know, I have to be here for you guys. You know what I mean? It's like, because I always used to say that. That there's going to be a little girl, like the reason I said, why do you keep coming back? I used to always say this, there's going to be a little girl comes in here, you know, a little, you know, black bourgeois middle class, you know, thinking she's got a light touch of this disease and then she doesn't really need this program and she's going to come here to get her mother back and she's going to need to see me.
Yeah.
You know? And I guess I got to keep being reminded of that, you know, because that's how I'm going to combat this thing and come out of this closet, you know. I really have, because I tell you, at first when I asked my brother, he's speaking to, I was like, Danny, because I was like, Lydia, I'm going to catch Lydia's meeting, I'm going to catch Vickery's meeting, I'm going to share with Bernadette and Layla, and then Wednesday, 6, because I don't know about anybody else, but pushing this envelope now when I do go out amongst the living, I have a blast because when I'm home, I go, I wish I had shit to do, right? And then when I do come out, right, I'm sitting there looking at my watch going, all right, it's time to go home. Oh, no one can relate to that. Okay. It's okay if you can't. But no, seriously, I was like, 6 o'clock, I got to stay at the East Coast Convention until 6 to hear Danny. Oh, my God. I'm going to physically implode. But check this out. Now I'm like, y'all are probably not going to be able to get rid of me. I might be the main speaker. I'm like, I am so pumped up because you know what invariably happens, and I'm going to share this and stuff. What invariably happens, man, when I hit my knees and I pray and stuff, it's like, you talk about God working in your life, your higher power working in your life. He, you know, it's no burning bushes for me. There's no, like, ticker tape. There's no billboard on 301 or whatever. It's always invariably he sends you guys to me to remind me of the miracle that happens here. You know, it's just that simple. And, you know, the line of sponsorship is such the cornerstone here. I mean, I know, and my sponsor tells me all the time, she tells all of us, like, we're like her pillars. And, you know, that need, and sometimes there's a line, I guess, with codependency, but that need to be needed is a universal one I found. We don't have a corner on that market. You know what I'm saying? It's a human thing, man. And I'm just grateful that I still have the courage to stay plugged up and that I didn't stray too far, even though I really didn't go anywhere. It's at that danger zone. You know, that Top Gun. I did it again. Called the movie, but I do want to give another shout out though, Layla Bernadette. This was a huge honor being able to do this with you guys, and I hope that I had a message and that I was able to help somebody. And I'm gonna keep coming back. Thanks for allowing me to share.
We have one announcement. The main meeting tonight at 8 o'clock is going to be in Decker, in this building, which is downstairs. And can we close with the Serenity Prayer?